Well, you may have heard about Puerto Rico. They're in a $74 billion debt situation, and my next guest says this could be a larger issue for us if we don't figure out what's happening here. Lowell Ponte is here, author of Money, Morality, and the Machine. Lowell, always great to have you on WILS. Thanks for being here.
It's always great to be had, Michael. Yeah. Thanks for inviting me back. So this little island of 3.5 million people has run up $74 billion in debt.
How did that happen, Lowell?
That happened because initially they were given a tax break. Because of that tax break, 9 of the 12 biggest pharmaceutical companies moved facilities or headquarters to Puerto Rico. Then the tax break was taken away. In the meanwhile, the politicians there had become accustomed to their own drug, the drug of wild spending, and they still have to get it. They have not yet gotten over it. So what they do is they issue Puerto Rican bonds. The Puerto Rican bonds are write-offable federal, state, and local. 40% of all U.S. pension funds are still invested in Puerto Rican bonds, but nobody's paying on the bonds anymore. And the state is trying to declare bankruptcy. Of course, Puerto Rico isn't a state. I mean, the territory of Puerto Rico wants to renege on having to pay on the bonds by declaring bankruptcy.
And can they legally do that? Or
the federal government would say no, and yet this Congress has gone ahead last year with a thing called the Promiso Act, or legislation, which creates something very much like bankruptcy. And as you can imagine, we have 11 or 12 states that are death spiral states in the U.S., of which Chicago is the worst, the deepest in debt. They're looking at this very intensely. If Puerto Rico is allowed to do something like bankruptcy, they will demand the right to do the same thing.
Right. But here's what I'm trying to figure out, because in Michigan, for example, we're obligated to balance the budget, right? That's an obligation for a state. So is that not the case for a place like Puerto Rico also?
No. Mm-mm. Even if they were, you will notice, I think a lot of states have a balanced budget amendment, but they can play infinite financial games. Mm-hmm. They can say, for example, we're funding our pensions, but we're expecting our bank accounts to draw 8, 10, 12% interest. Okay, on that basis, they've balanced it, but in the real world, they haven't balanced it at all.
Okay.
And so we now have a government in Illinois, for example, that is $150 billion in debt, whose credit rating is basically junk. Nobody wants to buy their bonds anymore because they're so unreliable. And as a result, they are stuck with it.
And they're right next door. What could potentially happen with Illinois then?
Oh, Illinois in theory could go under. It could crash. The question, in fact, a reporter at the Chicago Tribune named John Cass had a marvelous idea. Why not just carve up Illinois and give its land to the surrounding states? Michigan has a water boundary with Illinois. Maybe even Michigan could get a share of that.
Would we have to take some of their debt along with that? Or?
I hope not, for your sake. But you see, when you create a welfare state and you allow politicians to spend wildly, they're going to constantly have to be upping themselves like a shock jock, finding new ways to spend, new ways to give people free goodies, new ways to play Santa. And if they can do that by running up debt, they will do it. Puerto Rico ran up phenomenal debt from its bonds and spending.
And so now, Lowell Ponte, by the way, is here on WILS. The book is Money, Morality, and the Machine, his latest book. So at what point does this become a real crisis? When is this going to go down then for Puerto Rico?
Well, it's already a real crisis. In Puerto Rico and in Illinois, they have gone about as far as they can go. They can't borrow more money. They're going to try desperately to shuffle the debt off onto others, on people who bought the bonds and now will not get paid, or onto taxpayers who'd be expected to bail them out. Their theory being, we're too big to fail.
Okay.
That's especially true of a state like Illinois. You know, we're too big to be allowed to go under, and therefore the taxpayers in good states like Michigan are going to have to run in and save us.
And so do you think that's what we're going to end up with, where we step in and the federal government bails them out, essentially?
What is the easiest path for politicians? It's basically just to wink at things like that and say, yes, we'll make it look like it'll take a long time. that people in places like Lansing will be required to bail out Illinois in all likelihood.
Yeah, because in a federal budget, you look at $74 billion, it can get lost in the money, right? I mean, that's...
Well, that's small change by federal standards, yes. But it's still a good deal of money by our standards. You figure we have about a third of a billion people in the United States. That means every billion, you're talking about $3 that will have to be spent per billion for everybody paying into the kitty. If you have a family of four, that's $12.
Right.
Then multiply that by 74, and that's what your family would owe to bail out Puerto Rico. Or something like it. I mean, what will happen is the bondholders will also get shafted.
We'll
but when that happens, as happened in Detroit, for example, people are going to demand a whole lot more before they will invest in bonds again.
Mm-hmm. They just don't trust it anymore after
that. No, and so you delude yourself in thinking there's no cost for this. The cost is people will now demand more interest, more risk aversion in anything they invest in from the government. And so things just become more and more and more expensive.
Yeah.
Now bonds are so worthless in Illinois that you have to pay a very high premium to be able to sell a bond.
Wow. Lowell Ponte with us, author of Money, Morality, and the Machine, and you're listening to 1320 WILS. I just saw this news before we got on the air that the International Monetary Fund has now cut its growth forecast for the U.S. economy. It was going to be something like 2.3% this year, 2.5% next year. They're now down to 2.1%, and they actually say that the that they say White House policies is part of their rationale for why we're going to see slower growth. I wonder what do you think? Do you think that's they're accurate? We're not going to see anything near 3%?
Well, you see, the catch is that's in the hands of Janet Yellen more than it is Donald Trump. Janet Yellen, the head of the Federal Reserve, can always decide that she's going to raise interest rates. Donald Trump may be able to generate an extra percent of growth, so he raises rates an extra percent, and that nullifies the growth, like Pac-Man eating little things on a computer board. And Janet Yellen is a professor at the University of California, Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's not exactly a right-wing economist.
Yeah, do you think she's somehow motivated to work against growth herself somehow, or...?
Oh, well, you see, these people can rationalize doing whatever they want, raising interest rates or not raising them. They did not raise them at all for 8 years under Obama in order to give him the best possible economic prospect. I mean, money was essentially free to big borrowers, to banks, to giant corporations. But we paid the price for that in the long run as ordinary little consumers because the dollars in our wallet became worth less and less. But the government then just issued papers saying, oh, there wasn't really any inflation.
Okay.
Well, you decide for yourself whether you're paying the same price for hamburger that you were paying 8 years ago. I'll bet you're paying more.
So when the IMF says about 2% growth, do you think they're ultimately right that that's what we're looking at for the next couple of years?
As long as interest rates stay low, growth is potentially going to stay low. So that's the quandary. If you raise rates, you could hurt growth. If you lower rates because people no longer believe in investment via low rates, that will hurt growth. And, of course, if you look at states like Illinois, California, Massachusetts, and so on, where they have these economic problems, are you as a capitalist going to want to invest in those states? Knowing the kind of games they're playing, you know, people invested in Puerto Rican bonds on the assumption that, of course, our Constitution prohibited Puerto Rico from declaring bankruptcy and getting out from under the obligation. But lo and behold, the Congress is now allowing it. The same was true of General Motors and such companies in 2008, 2009, and Barack Obama waved a magic wand, said the bondholders have to go to the back of the line. We're going to give whatever bailout proceeds there are to the United Auto Workers instead.
But is this just the way we are historically that we see these kind of debts accumulate in companies and essentially going under? Is this human nature?
Well, it's human nature, but also we have paper money. You know, there was a reason the government originally said that states will not be allowed to print their own money. They'd seen what happened when states did. And so they did not want the states able to play the kind of financial games the federal government plays. But having a bankruptcy is very much like printing your own money. You can run up debts and then just make the debts go away magically, mm-hmm. whether you have to do that with paper money or not. By the way, you mentioned the book Craig Smith and I have out, our seventh, called Money, Morality, and the Machine. You know, if they debase money, it also debases people and human values. And we go into the history of that, what's happened in the European Union, what's happened in the U.S. as we became an empire, and so on. Fascinating book, 250 pages. You could pay $20 for it at Amazon. But for listeners to your show, it is absolutely free and postpaid. All you need to do is call a toll-free number, 1-800. That won't cost you money either, 1-800-630-1492, like the year Columbus sailed the ocean blue. That's 1-800-630-1492. You'll find it an amazing read.
Yeah. Well, it's Lowell Ponte. You heard him here on 1320 WILS. The book is Money, Morality, and the Machine. The number again, 1-800-630-1492. Lowell, great to have you, as always, on WILS. Thanks.
Always great to be on with you, Michael. God bless. Happy 4th of July.
Indeed. Here it comes.